Hello friends, today is the first Sunday of Advent, and I am so excited to be able to share with you God's Word today. We're going to begin a new series called God Steps In. God Steps In. Why? Well, because at Christmas, God stepped into our world. We have some folks that built this beautiful set here in the sanctuary, but if you think for just a second about this scene right here where Jesus is laying in this manger, God literally stepped into our world in the person of Jesus, sent his own son, word became flesh, to live among us, and walked this earth with us. He stepped in. Now, God still steps into our world today. I'm not suggesting that he's sending more people beyond Jesus. I'm just saying that he walks into our world. He shows himself. He's always there, but he shows himself in different ways when he steps in and interacts and lives and works and walks among us again today. And so because he steps into our world, we're going to look at some characteristics of how we stepped into our world in the Christmas story and see how it has parallels for how he steps into our world today, to learn something more about God and his ways and to take comfort and strength in who our God is and how he works among us even now. We're going to begin today with a scripture in Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at a Christmas scripture in a minute, but we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, Paul writes these words beginning in verse 4. But when the right time came, you ready for that? But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Now, I'm going to finish this because it gives us a context for the gospel, why he came. But we're going to focus on that first verse there. Here's the rest of it. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Paul writes in Galatians, when the right time came, other translations said, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. There's something about God stepping in that has to do with timing that's really important. And when you look at the birth of Jesus, you see this written all over the story. Earlier on, the story really begins long before Bethlehem, doesn't it? It begins with the prophets who talked about a Messiah coming. Adam and Eve, who demonstrated for us our need for God. It's a genealogy listed in Matthew and Luke that talks about a family line in which God strategically laid a path to both Mary, Joseph, and eventually Jesus. A star in the sky that would lead the wise men over the house where Jesus was staying. John, who we know is John the Baptist, who was born to a woman thought to be barren, and John was to be the one that was to announce the coming of the Messiah. All of these things carefully orchestrated, all of these things put together in a timeline carefully sequenced for God, so that as Christ stepped in, we would see that God was at work in our world. And so heaven declares, and Paul makes clear, when the time was right, when the time was God's time, it was in heaven's eye, perfect timing. But I want to read to you a different scripture in which we look at Joseph's story. You're familiar with this, but let me read it to you. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Remember that line of things that God set up to make happen? The prophets? Look, a virgin will conceive a child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God stepped in to be among us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. So let's just pause for a second here. You've heard that story before. Most of you are familiar with that story listed in the Gospels. Here we have the picture. Paul and the world declares God had perfect timing when he sent Jesus. But I want to ask you this question. Would Joseph answer the same way? When Mary came to him and said, I'm pregnant with a child, was he saying, that's perfect timing. You and I haven't been together. Surely God's in this. Is that what he said? Was it perfect timing in Joseph's mind that he would begin to contemplate divorce? The heartbreak of a family who had been committed to one another suddenly breaking before they ever came together? The roller coaster of emotions on both sides as they worked all this through? Was that really perfect timing? I mean, if we were to sit down and think about this story, the timing of the announcements, of the birth itself, the process by which God used, does it seem or feel perfect to you? If one of us were to sit down and coach God, I'm not saying we would, but if we were, maybe we would have suggested that God did something different in terms of both his timing and the way in which he unfolded the story. Maybe we could have suggested to him that what he really needed to do was to gather Mary, Joseph, their families, maybe John the Baptist's parents as well, get everybody together in a large room and have an angel pull out a whiteboard and begin to explain to all of them at the very same time what was going to happen. Maybe he needed to walk through the prophets and explain that a prophecy, set of prophecies had been laid out that a Messiah was coming, and that that time was coming at hand. Maybe he needed to lay out the genealogies in Matthew and Luke and show them that they were leading up to Mary and Joseph. Maybe he needed to lay out the story of how Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem and that there was going to be a census taken. They were going to be called on a trip. And while they're away on that trip, they'd be given birth to the baby. No surprises. They know ahead of time. Maybe he could have told them that Herod was going to chase after the baby, that they were going to have to run off to Egypt and be in exile for a couple of years, but that God would provide, because a group of strangers would show up with a bunch of money as well as other resources, so that while they're on their trip, they would be fine. Maybe God could have told them through the angel that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, who was going to save the world, and explain his entire ministry. And then when he was done all of that, he could have taken a quick break and then said, now we have time for questions and answers. What would you like to know? You see, from our standpoint, that's how you get everybody on board. You explain everything that you know, everything that's going to happen. You bring everybody up to speed. You get them on the same page at the same time. Get rid of all uncertainty. That's how you do it. That's not at all what God did. And if God were in front of us, maybe we might ask about his timing or the way that he does stuff or who he chooses or how he chooses to do it. See, at the right time gives the impression that it's idyllic. When we talk about a perfect time, well, that's a time when it's no mess, no problems, no fuss, no challenges, the perfect time. But in some respects, this was just the opposite, wasn't it? There was lots of mess. A relationship almost ended. There was certainly turmoil between families. And then if you look at the rest of the story, they felt the challenge of all of it as they walked through. In our minds, the picture of the perfect timing is Jesus out on the boat in the middle of the storm. And he stands up and he commands the winds and the waves to be still, and it's done. Except, of course, if you were one of the disciples, you might have said, well, Lord, you could have calmed the storm before we were afraid for our lives. Maybe just as the storm was rising, maybe as we just were afraid, maybe as we wondered if we were going to be okay, that's when you could have stood up and done it. Because when we think of perfect timing, it is oftentimes not the same as God's idea of perfect timing. When God steps in, it is often disruptive, difficult. We are often called to let go of the old so that God can bring the new. God often pushes us. And for many of us, there's just not a good time for any of that to happen. None of us want it. A few months ago, I came home from work one day and my washing machine was no longer working. Let me just pause and ask you this question. When's a good time for a washing machine to break down? Is there one? My wife said to me, it's no longer agitating, no longer spinning the water off. I'm not sure it's emptying all the water from the washing machine. Of course, my thought is never to call someone first. I know very little about washing machines, but I have YouTube. And I'm thinking to myself, God, why is this happening now? Because at the time it happened, I had a lot of stuff going on in life. A lot of stuff. And as a matter of fact, when my wife told me, I thought, oh, why now? Why now? Now, I'm not saying that God caused my washing machine to stop spinning. Let me finish my story. So I asked my son to help me. We took the door off the laundry room so that we could unhook all the hoses and wheel the washing machine out of the laundry room and out and around and into the garage. And we began this process of taking it apart to see what we could find was wrong, see if a belt was broken or something obvious that would cause it not to work. And at the same time, had a laptop in the garage Googling all the symptoms, watching YouTube videos, and trying to diagnose what was wrong. After checking on several sites, we decided that it could be two, maybe three different things, ordered a couple of parts, and left it in the garage. A couple days later, the parts come. We put it back together. We wheel it in. We hook it up. And it runs. And that night I say to my son, what was your favorite part of the day? And he said, my favorite part has been working on the washing machine with you. It's been so much fun taking it apart, figuring it out, understanding it, working together. And I thought, there's never a good time for a washing machine to break, but there is an amazing time to interrupt the normal chores and pace of life to do something that would build a relationship with one of my kids. The next day, I went in and my washing machine was now leaking. And I thought, I guess you'd like me to spend more time with my son. So I ordered what I thought would be the right part, in the very center of the washing machine. My son and I wheeled it out, literally took every part off the washing machine to get to the one seal that's in the very middle, replaced it, put it all back together, wheeled it back in, turned it on, worked perfectly, no leaks. And again, that night he said, "Dad, love doing that with you." And I thought to myself, God, I love the way you work. I love the reminders of how you step in, even when it's disruptive, and enable us to do something powerful as you operate. God's timing is oftentimes not our timing, and God oftentimes doesn't save us the way we'd like him to. And that's in part because God is regularly challenging us to grow up. He did his disciples. He was constantly pushing them to have more faith and more trust, to take on more responsibility, to get them ready for a time when he wasn't there to do and to be and to help hands on. He had to get them ready for the moment he was going to leave. God is regularly trying to get us to grow up. I've had a similar conversation with about three different parents in the past several months that I had just this past week with another parent. And here's how this conversation went. I was talking to their parent, and this parent had a child who was off at college, and they were describing to me how their child was living away from home and how COVID had come to their campus and how their child was working through all that. And this particular parent was telling me how their child had a conversation with them just this past week. And they said to me, "My child said, if I get COVID, I have two choices. One is to stay in the dorm with all the kids that have COVID, and the other is to come home." And this mom looked at me and said, "And I told my child, you don't have two choices, you have one choice, and that's to stay in that dorm. Because if I bring you home on a four-hour drive home from school, I'm going to get COVID, and you're going to bring it home to everybody. And that's not an option for the job that I have or the life around us." And this parent said to me, and I could see on my child's face, this looked like, "Mom, you're going to make me stay at school with COVID?" And I smiled at that mother and I said, "You looked at your child and said, this is part of growing up, didn't you?" And they said, "Yep." And you know, part of what happens to us is that we regularly don't feel ready for the things that we're facing in life. It happens to us all the time. But God knows when we're ready and how we're ready, and that is part of his timing. So let me go back and ask you, if you were to go to Joseph and say, "Were you ready for God to come to you in an angel and say that you're fiance is in fact pregnant, and it's not by another man, it is by God, and I want you to marry this woman, and I want you to raise him because he's going to be the son of God." Is that the right time for that message? Were you ready? I'm going to guess Joseph is going to say, no, I was not ready. If you ask Mary, what would she say? Well, frankly, Mary was more ready, wasn't she? I'm not sure she was ready, but she was more ready than Joseph. Was the world ready? Did the world need a Messiah? The world may not have been ready, but they needed a Messiah. When God steps in, it is the right time. We may not see it that way. We may not understand it. God may not explain all the details and the plans. He may not map out what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. He may not tell us everything we would want to know, but it's still is the right time. And he is the master of that. And so as we walk into Advent, I want you to consider with me the different characteristics of God as he steps into our world and how he's asking us to understand him and his ways and how different they are from our ways. To grow us up, to challenge our faith, and to know that he is indeed still alive and well. His stepping into the world didn't start or end at the manger. It continues today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. As we celebrate Advent together, we are so grateful for your presence among us and that you chose to step into our world and continue to do that. We ask that you would watch over us, bless us, encourage us, help us to fully receive your presence, even when it's disruptive, even when we don't understand, even when you're doing something new or asking us to let go of the old. Help us to trust your timing. In Jesus' holy name, we pray the prayer that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.